welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned into the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse number 1, the scripture says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying." And so we see our Lord Jesus here, after this time in chapter 14 of telling about salt, which is representative of the Lord's people. There's no other way for the Lord's people to be salty, to have an effect in this world, other than the way that the Lord has designed. There's no other way. And then previous to that, he's speaking to us about counting the cost of following Christ. There is a cost that needs to be counted. Whoever doesn't forsake all that we have cannot be the Lord Jesus' disciple. And so then all the publicans and sinners draw near to him. The Lord has dealt with the religious leadership of the day in chapter 14, earlier in the chapter. And now the publicans and the sinners draw up near. And the Pharisees at hand begin to murmur again, saying that the Lord Jesus receives sinners and will even go as far as to eat with them. Eating with folks is the greatest way of fellowship. The greatest expression of fellowship is to eat with folks. You know how that is. That's just the way that it is with us, is we don't eat with those that we don't like. But with those that we love and those that we care for, we'll eat with them. And so here our Lord Jesus is willing to eat with these and to be near these. And understand, the Lord is not supportive in any wise of their sin, their transgression, their wicked way, if there be anything at hand. He's always against that and always for righteousness. But those that have need, publicans and sinners, our Lord Jesus is indeed interested in them. He speaks a parable unto them and says, verse number 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you," verse number 7, "that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So the Lord puts out this parable here of this man that has 100 sheep. And you think about 100 sheep, that's quite a few sheep to tend to and to keep track of. You know what? The shepherd here is so knowledgeable about his sheep that out of 100, he knows one is missing. He is that concerned and that careful, our Lord Jesus is, about his people. He sees that one is missing, and he leaves the 99 that this shepherd does and goes and finds that one. He says that's common amongst shepherds, isn't it? They will do that. They'll leave the 99 for the sake of the one. And when they find that one, they're always rejoicing. They're rejoicing in finding that lost sheep. Yeah, they'll go home and they'll tell about the occasion where the sheep ran off and got separated from the flock, from the shepherd. And they'll tell his friends and his neighbors, "Be happy with me, rejoice with me, because I found the one sheep that went away." Jesus says in verse number 7, it's the same way in heaven. It's the same way in heaven when one sinner repents. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." And understand, This doesn't say a child of God that repents. It says a sinner. A sinner that repents. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Of course, the indication here about the 99 is a parallel the Lord is making to the 99 sheep that were left, using that number, but it's not indicative of the sheep. I don't believe that it's indicative of the sheep. The Lord doesn't rejoice over the self-righteousness of men, but he rejoices over the repentance of sinners, knowing that they have a need of forgiveness of sins, and they have a need of the granting of everlasting life unto them by the Lord. They see and they know that they need the Lord. And there's joy in heaven over sinners that repent. Not righteous people, not self-righteous or self-justified people, but sinners that repent. He goes on here and says in verse number 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found that piece of silver, found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. The Lord again takes a parable, and a parable is being a thing of life that you and I can easily and clearly understand, and uses it to explain a spiritual truth. He said, is it not so for a woman that loses one piece out of 10, that she'll go to great effort to find it? Isn't that something? It's an indictment, really, upon the Lord's people and the Lord's churches. We need to be diligent in spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking for the Lord's lost sheep, looking for the lost coin, that indeed they might be rescued by the ministry that the Lord's ordained, the means that the Lord has ordained, and that there would be rejoicing. This woman that's lost this piece and has sought diligently for it, it says in verse 9, when she's found it, she calls her friends or neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. The Lord Jesus again says, likewise, just like that woman rejoices, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. We've got some more insight here to the rejoicing, don't we? Did you hear that? There's joy in the presence of the angels of God. It doesn't say that there's joy among the angels, okay? That the angels are rejoicing. It's not saying that, although it may very well be that the angels do rejoice at the salvation of the Lord towards sinners. But notice here it says, joy in the presence of the angels. Who else is there? Well, we know that 24 elders are there before the Lord, as it tells us in the book of the Revelation. We know that they are there in the presence of the angels. And no doubt, indeed, it could be they that rejoice. But I believe this is indicative of our Lord himself rejoicing. He is rejoicing, even before the angels, over sinners, because of sinners and their repentance towards God. That's the command of the Lord, and that's the declaration of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20, verse number 21, that his whole ministry has been all about preaching to sinners, repentance towards God, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. A wonderful account there, isn't it? And the thing is this parable here is right up against these others. There's some debate about this parable, if it applies to sinners or it applies to wayward children of God. Well, indeed, I believe because of its connection to those other passages in the chapter is that it's talking about the salvation of a sinner. Two sons, one declaring to the father, I want all my living. I want my inheritance now. The father gave it to him, and he went his own way. And in his wicked own way, he was nearly destroyed. He used up all that he had. He sought the pleasures of this world and this life. And then things got bad. So bad for everybody around that no one would give to him. They're all trying to save and preserve themselves. The man had wasted all the substance that he had on riotous living, and had he been good with that which he had and done right with it, he would have not have been in this serious place of want, but he followed after the wicked ways of sin, and it used him up. He wasted his substance with riotous living. Mighty famine arises in the land. He began to be in want. He engaged himself to the citizen of that country that said, go to my fields and feed the swine. And evidently the young man was very bad off. He continued to look and as he fed those pigs, and then that defilement for the consideration of the Jew, remember this is a telling amongst parables, it could be a real account, the Lord Jesus would know. This man was so bad off that he looked to eat the hog's food. And he remembered. He remembered the blessing of his father. He remembered the truth about his father's household. He remembered that even then his father's servants had plenty. And you know what this young man did? He became repentant. Repentant of his wicked way. Repentant of the defiance of his father. Repentant of the way that he had gone. And he went to his father. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.